This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, get in on the new Civic Media contest. We're having another text to win contest, and these are so easy to do. All you have to do is listen weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for keywords to text for your chance to win in our grown-up gift list. Statewide text to win contest. You could win $100 cash, a Chula Vista overnight stay, and be entered to win one of 8 grand prizes on our grown-up gift list. It says list below, but I don't have the what's below. Do you know what's below? What are the other 8 wins?
Well, if you just go to the website Civic Media, it's on the homepage actually, and you can see all the gifts on there. So,
and it's so easy, folks. All you have to do is text in the keyword, and they give that to you at the top of the hour, usually the bottom of the hour. Text in, and you're eligible, and that's all there is to it. Also, on Christmas Eve, Nightlight is going to kick off 24 to 36 hours of Christmas music on Christmas Day. We will air 2 hours earlier from 4 to 6. We're going to read your Christmas emails. You can share stories with us, Christmas cookie recipes, favorite Christmas movies, songs, sweaters, whatever. We're going to cover it all in 2 hours. We're going to have two very special guests on the show as well. All you have to do ahead of time is email us whatever it is you want, your Christmas story, movie, song, whatever, at Nightlight at civicmedia.us. That's N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. And we will read them on the radio. That will be a great way to kick off Christmas, I think. And we'll be out of here a couple hours earlier. Should be fun, right, Conrad?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We can share stories, too.
Yeah.
Carla from Baraboo says, our question tonight is, what is your favorite Wisconsin-associated food? And this was inspired by Terry Barr's article on Civic Media, where she did this whole piece on Kringle. And Kringle is like cheese curds. I don't ever order it. I don't ever order cheese curds, but when they're in front of me, I eat them.
I'm not going to lie. I will go out of my way to order a
good
cheese curd.
Most people do. That's fine. I always tell myself I'm going to try to eat right, but if it's in front of me, it's over. Carla says, food at an old Wisconsin supper club. That's kind of general.
But I mean, there's too much to choose from, yeah. I think she's
just
saying.
Just give me the menu. Anna from Madison says, I thought of another one on my Wisconsin's favorites. Prairie Fume Wine from Wallersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac. Wow, I don't even understand what half those words mean. That was a mouthful. But thank you, Anna. Anna's had two great answers tonight. And then Lynn from Oconomowoc says, evening, raw beef, onion on rye. My Uncle Pat eats this. I love it. And a sprinkle of pepper is served at Joey Gerard's in Greenfield. That's Lynn from Oconomowoc. Have you ever had that?
I'm scared to just
sometimes
eat.
It's called tartar.
I'm scared to eat raw beef, but I'll eat raw fish. So is it kind of the same thing?
I think raw beef is slightly less risky than raw fish. Here's who's not afraid of raw beef. How do you like that for a segue? It's our next guest, Rob Thomas. For all I know, he's terrified of raw beef, but I don't care. It was a great segue. We're going to bring Rob in. He's a Madison entertainment critic, and as you know, a frequent flyer here at Nightlight, and he joins us now over the stream. Hey, Rob.
How's it going? I didn't know I had an opinion about raw beef, but now I'm really searching my soul about that one.
I kind of want you to be the Nightlight raw beef guy. Is that too much?
Doesn't that have a name? Isn't like the cannibal sandwich or something like that? Am I?
Oh, I like that.
There's a very specific name for that.
I think you're right.
Your caller. I think it's cannibal sandwich, but I'm sure somebody will correct me.
I thought it was called tartar or something like that.
I think if it's fancy, but if you get it like a dive bar, you can get like a cannibal sandwich. Yeah.
Boy, if they're serving raw meat in a dive bar, I'm out of there so fast. We're out of this. Go back to the dumpster.
Hey, in for a penny. Yeah,
right, exactly. Do you have a favorite food, Rob, that is like associated with Wisconsin?
Well, I gotta say cheese curds. I know it's a cliche, and I know you're against it, but like,
no,
I
mean, I'm not
really. Yeah, there's really nothing like fried cheese curds, you know. And yeah, it's not the wisest choice from a health perspective, but like, come on, when in Rome, yeah,
you got once in a while you have to, right?
Yep. But they are addictive. I don't have ever seen a half finished plate of cheese curds.
Right. They seem to get more and more unhealthy because now people dip them in ranch.
Oh yeah.
And then it's like, how can you make this worse? Like, here's just, you know, here's a piece of lard. Put that on there too. It's really good. You know, like,
it does sound pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, it's good to talk to you, buddy. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
You too, Pete.
Thank you. Are you ready for Christmas, Rob?
I feel pretty good. Yeah. I feel nice. Like my shopping is in good shape. We haven't got the tree yet. That is our big drawback. We missed a window where we should have got our tree, and now it's really cold here. So we're scrambling a little bit. Other than that, I think we're on top of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. So let's jump in here. We've got a lot to talk about, and I want to talk about the big films in the theaters right now. You're doing much better with them than I am at the moment. But I kind of offhandedly said something about Ted Danson in our text exchange earlier, and you said you've been watching his new show. I don't know what is going on with Ted Danson, but in these Hollywood beats I do every day, this guy even backs into a successful show. He said he thought Curb Your Enthusiasm sucked and he wanted to do it because he felt sorry for Larry David. And he ends up being in 12 seasons of this crazy critically acclaimed show. And he says it renewed his love of comedy. Like, the guy can do no wrong when it comes to TV.
And on the show, I think like Larry hates Ted Danson and like goes out of his way to, you know, to make him look bad on the show. And Ted just keeps, you know, who's like, I think people think he's like one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. He certainly has that perception.
Yeah.
I think Ted Danson, I mean, and he has a podcast. It's a really good podcast.
With Woody, called, right?
With Woody, right. Yeah. And it's sort of a Cheers podcast and sort of just talking to people. But like, I've been watching this show on Netflix called Man on the Inside.
Yeah.
And it's great. He plays a widower in San Francisco who answers a want ad because he's really doesn't know what to do with his life. And turns out it's a private investigator who wants a senior citizen to go undercover at a nursing home to find out who's been stealing jewelry from the residents. And so it's great. He's perfect in it. And so he's sort of this professorial type who gets into like espionage, and he's got like secret, you know, glasses where you can videotape people. And then it's also a very sweet show about these characters in this, I guess, nursing home, although it's a very high-end facility. Like, the residents, there's a bar, they smoke weed together, they have affairs. like it makes growing old look fantastic, if you can afford it.
If you can afford it.
Yeah, but it's a great show. I'm, like, halfway through it. I think I know who the thief is, but it's much more about the characters and, like, the guy who made it. Made Parks and Rec and The Good Place, and it's really good.
I think that might be derived from a documentary, because I do the intros for Independent Lens and POV and PBS, and I swear I wrote one of these intros where a guy did that, and I thought, oh my god, I remember thinking that's brilliant, and now of course another idea that got away from me because it's already on TV, but. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's called The Mole Agent, I think.
Yes.
I want to see that now. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. I told you, I went back to Cheers, Rob, and he's so good. Like, I remember him and laughing and everything, but he is just your central character, your access character, I guess is what they call it. And he's so, Ted Danson is great. I understand why he can do no wrong when it comes to TV. I mean, he's got Cheers, Becker, this new show. He was on Curb. He had The Good Place.
Yes.
He's just, maybe have a track record like nobody else in the history of TV.
Yeah, and I think maybe on Cheers he even got a little bit overshadowed because, like you said, he was sort of the regular guy. And
yeah,
Norm and Cliff and Carla, they got sort of, I think, the big laugh lines usually.
Right.
But I remember watching that show in the 80s and just buying that, like, oh, that's a handsome jock guy.
Yeah.
And then you sort of read interviews with him. And no, he was like a stage actor. He had a lot of anxiety about being on stage. And like, he's very different from Sam Malone. And so right. It makes you appreciate even more what a great job he did on that show for so long.
I think I read, too, that he really didn't know anything about baseball. And I totally bought him. You know, he's like, I almost thought maybe this guy really was a jock because Fred Dreyer used to be on the show and he was a football right. player.
That's right.
So anyway, and he was funny. So I thought, oh, he was probably a jock too. But no, he didn't even, I don't even think he ever played baseball.
Yeah.
So can we start with the movie that you saw? I am dying to see this. It is not at my local theater. The Order. It's reviewing well. It's my kind of movie,
yeah.
And it looks fantastic. You liked it, right?
It's really good. Yeah. It's a thriller. It's opening pretty wide. I hope it comes to your theater soon because it's doing well, I think. And it's sort of like it's a very gritty crime thriller set in the 80s in kind of the Idaho, Colorado, Wyoming. And it's an FBI agent played by Jude Law, who normally is this like handsome golden boy, but he plays right. this like alcoholic cop with a big mustache and eye bags and he's I think trying to go to Idaho basically to half retire. He's kind of burned out, but he gets wind of all these white supremacist groups that are in the area who are robbing banks, and so it's like an action film. It's like a heist film. These bank robberies reminds me of Heat, Michael Mann's Heat, the way yeah. they're shot. But it's very much based in real life. It's based on a nonfiction book. I grew up in Denver in the 80s. I remember reading about a lot of it, including the murder of a radio host, Alan Berg, which is, I think, made national news by white supremacists. And that's in the movie, too.
Really?
So it's not a bundle of laughs, but it's a really well-made thriller and I think one people ought to see.
That's so cool. I want to see that, and it reminded me of a film noir I just watched the other night called Kansas City Confidential. It takes place in 1952, and the guys wear masks and they're creepy looking, and it makes me think how many movies we watch today that are like heist movies like this one or The Town where they wore the masks. Like, I wonder how many people saw something like that and were inspired by it. A movie I'd never even thought of before a few days ago. Rob, we got to do a really quick thing, then we'll come back and pick it up with The Order or whatever we talk about. Rob Thomas is here. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You don't have to call me lieutenant. I don't want to be your son. Only lover I'm ever going to need. Some sweet little girl's talk.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the 414, Lynn says, oh, don't forget brandy old fashioned. Is the fruit considered food? Yes, Lynn. Yes, it is. I'll accept that answer. Eric from Lodi, we complimented Eric's knowledge of many subjects. He says, thanks for the kind words. Just don't ask me any math questions. Luckily for you, Eric, I'm not even smart enough to ask a math question, much less know much about math. And Drake from Green Bay says, what is my favorite food is also my password recovery hint question. The answer to both questions is buffet. All right. So if you're Drake's neighbor, you can hack into his Wi-Fi. Keep those texts coming. We'll read some more in just a bit. Rob Thomas is with us. You can follow Rob or check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. He is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and an entertainment TV movie critic. So you liked The Order a lot.
Yep.
Okay. That's on my list. I have not seen Flow. I know you wrote about it in your Substack. How did you, what did you think of Flow?
So like, as a film critic, like, I'm happiest when I write about a movie and one that people haven't heard of, and people tell me, I didn't know this movie, but it looked good. I read your review. I went and saw it, and I really liked it. And I've had more people say that to me about Flow than any movie.
Wow.
It's this independent animated movie, I think from Latvia. And it's, I think it's fairly low budget, but because it was made by like this free animation software, I read Blender. So it's not like Pixar, wow. But it looks fantastic. And it's this, has no dialogue. And it follows this cat, this, and it goes on. It reminds me of The Incredible Journey, that old Disney movie, where this, for some reason, the cat's world in the jungle, like suddenly the water level rises and he's in danger of drowning, finds a boat, and you know, a dog jumps on, a lemur, and they go on this adventure, and there's like all kinds of like peril along the way. And it's really beautiful. And I mean, you could kind of read it as maybe a climate change metaphor in a way, but it was just so beautiful to look at. And you're just, and again, the only dialogue is like a cat meowing or a dog barking or something like that. And the animals really seem to move like real animals. It was really fantastic. Yeah. And again, it was one I had not really heard of.
So you're saying the only dialogue, Rob, in the whole movie is just meowing and noises?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, there's not even really a sign of, there's maybe one or two signs that humans at some point were in this world. It's sort of a mix of our world and sort of a fantastic world. And I mean, you'd have to really watch it, but it's really this like immersive experience. And you know, I think it's one that like kids will like for sure, especially if they're animal lovers, but even grown-ups who like animals and great animation. I think what I'm hearing is people love it, and it's such a nice surprise. I mean, there's so many blockbusters out there right now that this little movie is finding an audience.
I love stories like that. It's got 97% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 93% from audiences. So I just added that one to my list. That's fantastic. How about the new Lord of the Rings movie? I pronounce the name properly in my Hollywood beats, but I've already forgotten the pronunciation. Is it Rory Heem or something like that?
I was hoping you would tell me. That's why I write rather than.
We'll just call it the new Lord of the Rings movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a misnomer because, you know, it's an animated movie. It's anime, Japanese anime. It's, you know, my sense is it probably. They made this movie just because the studio didn't want to lose the rights to making Lord of the Rings movies. Cause it's been like 10 years since the last Hobbit movie. And so they're like, let's make an anime movie. Let's get out the door and, you know, keep the contract.
Right.
But it's actually pretty good. I think part of the reason is it's set like 200 years before the events of the Peter Jackson trilogy, like
right.
The King, Two Towers, and barely has any characters in common with it. So it tells this like self-contained story of like this basically civil war between these two warring factions in this one kingdom. The animation is sort of a mix of 2D hand drawing, which you don't see that much anymore, and kind of motion capture. And it, you know, if you like that sort of thing, like fantasy war, you know, tactics between different armies, like the end of the Two Towers remind me a lot of, it's a lot of fun. And the actor Brian Cox, who is like one of my favorite actors.
He's great.
Does the voice acting of the king in the movie, and he's great. So like, I'd be definitely, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, it's one you probably will enjoy until the next one comes.
I've heard, it seems like it's reviewing mostly favorably, but I've heard some critics that really just did not like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty different than Lord of the Rings. I mean, it depends what you want a Lord of the Rings, I guess. If you want like mystical hobbits or mystical creatures, there's none of that here. This is like a straight guys on horses fighting each other with swords kind of movie. And so your mileage may vary on that one. But I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought it would be, like I said, kind of a quickie cash-in. But I thought the director made it is kind of a legend in modern anime. Okay. And the story is just so different from what you usually get Lord of the Rings that I found that pretty interesting.
All right. So far we've got a glowing review of Man on the Inside, or you like it at least. Really order, and you really like flow. So that gives us something to check out, certainly heading into the weekend. What about Y2K?
Well, the idea is great. So, I mean, guys our age remember New Year's Eve 1999 when there was a lot of panic that there was some glitch in computers that they wouldn't be able to read that when the dial turned from 1999 to 2000.
Right.
And there might be, planes falling out of the sky or your.
It was scary.
It was like, yeah. In the end, nothing happened. It was
right.
But this movie by Kyle Mooney, who's a former Saturday Night Live actor, is like, well, what if the machines turned on us on New Year's Day 2000? The premise, I think, is really good. And like the first half hour is really fun because it's all this, it's like a horror comedy where it's all this 90s tech turning against us, like a front loading VCR or like a Tamagotchi virtual pet. It's a fun movie. I saw it with an audience and they liked it, but
it runs out of gas. The machine is going to take over if I don't get to a break really quick, but we'll have Rob has agreed to stick around for a few minutes after the news. We'll be right back with more Rob Thomas. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here comes my baby, here she comes now, and it comes as no surprise to me, with another guy, here comes my baby, here she comes now, walking with a love, with a love that's all so fine.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Our question tonight is, what is your favorite food associated with Wisconsin? There is still time for you guys to get in on the fun. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We have a few more texts to read. We will get to those soon. My guest right now is Rob Thomas, who has graciously agreed to stick around for a little longer so we could get through his list of movies. He's seen a lot of stuff. I also want to give Rob a shout out and a thank you for, Rob, your connections at the Capital Times did a great article on Nightlight, and I can't thank you enough for putting us in touch with Lindsay Christians, and Victoria Davis. Thank you very much for that.
That turned out great. I was so happy to see that story, and I thought Victoria did a really good job. She's a great writer.
Yeah.
And she was a great editor, so yeah, that was fun to see.
She was fun to talk to.
Well-deserved ink.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Yeah. So let's start, before we get back into blockbusters, Rob, let's start with Hundreds of Beavers.
Okay. Oh,
I thought we had talked about that already. Had you just seen that, or did you see it a while back?
I think, yeah, because it first came through in January.
Okay.
And I'd interviewed the filmmakers then. And it's so interesting because it was back last week 2 weeks ago in Madison for a bunch of places for like a one night only screening. There's like 700 people there. It was fantastic. Wow. Yeah, I got to introduce it. It was a hoot. And the story, and it's like on streaming, and I think the Blu-ray is coming out. These Wisconsin filmmakers got their buddies in a few beaver costumes, went to northern Wisconsin and Michigan in the dead of winter and shot this it's like a live action Bugs Bunny cartoon basically. And it's so funny. Like it's definitely I think it's definitely gonna be in my top 10 list this year. It's easily the funniest comedy I've seen. It doesn't flag. And like, it's a great story. It's a great story. Cause like they made this movie a couple of years ago, no distributors wanted it. They were like, what is this? So they were like, well, let's just take the show on the road. And they went from town to town, and they would show it, and they'd have a guy in a beaver costume running around in the aisles. And it ended up being like the biggest self-finance hit in years. Like, it made five times its budget just by that. It's still making money. I mean, I'm sure it made a lot of money off those screenings last week and the DVD sales. So it's like, I think Hollywood's kind of looking at this and going like, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good rate of return. Maybe we should think about this might be a way forward for, you know, trying to figure out how to keep the movie industry afloat.
The director, Mike, was on the show several months ago, and he was so fun to talk to. He had like this, I don't know, he had like a mustache. I think he was having a cocktail, and he's just like such a regular Wisconsin dude. I had so much fun talking to him, but I'm also so curious to see what they follow that with, because I saw the Lake Michigan Monster, which I don't know if it was their first movie, but it was the one right before Beavers. And that was really funny. And I don't even know how they shot that with, I'm sure there was green screen or CGI or whatever, but on the cheap, like, they're so innovative and I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And they're getting enough notice that I wouldn't be surprised if they get like a bigger budget. And bigger. I mean, it's impossible not to get a bigger budget than what they have.
Right.
Beaver. So, it's really exciting, I think. And the fact that it's become such a real cult hit.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's fun. I saw it at the Wisconsin Film Festival last year with an audience. And that really, I think you'll like it if you just see it on your own, if it comes to streaming or whatever. But seeing it with an audience was just really, it was just a great theater experience, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so let's go. I know last time you were here, you said you had seen Wicked and you just thought it was good, but not, you thought it could be shorter, or you didn't love it, if I remember correctly.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was, you know, there are parts in it I really liked. I love the main actresses, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, who I think, you know, are fantastic, perfectly cast. You know, the big numbers, big musical numbers are great. There's just kind of a lot in between that. But I'm clearly the minority because, I mean, people are going back to see it 2, 3, even 4 times. Yeah. The theaters are always packed. I saw they're going to start doing sing-along Wicked screenings.
Yeah.
And I got news for you. Every screening Wicked has been a sing-along screening because people are singing in the theaters. And, it's, you know, it's a real, I mean, it really is like the Barbenheimer phenomenon, I think, where people are like, we got to go see this at theaters. This is an event. So, which is great. I mean, so like, even though I was a little lukewarm on the movie, I'm really happy that it's doing so well and people are really responding to it so much.
Yeah. I'm with you. I probably liked it a little more than you did. I liked it overall, but it did take a weird turn. Like, just when I thought it was over, when Jeff Goldblum comes into it, it just took this, it was like this kind of whimsical fun, and I know they're sticking to the play, which I did not see. So I was just, as a moviegoer, I was like, man, it took a weird turn there in the last 30 minutes. It got so dark, and then we find out she's, and I guess it was headed there all the time anyway.
But,
right. As a movie, I was like, boy, this is different. I feel like it's a totally different genre than where it started, but I still really liked it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Jeff Goldblum. I thought he was really good as the wizard and with a hidden agenda.
Right.
So yeah, we'll have to go see part two next Thanksgiving and definitely see what all it turns out. Yeah.
Reconvene. What about, have you seen Gladiator yet? Gladiator 2?
I did. Yeah. We went, Thanksgiving. It was just me and my wife. So we saw Gladiator 2 and had Indian food and, after, and
where'd you go for Indian food? Maharini?
Rajni, everybody was talking about. It's really good. It's a new spot on the far west side.
Nice.
It was good. It was good. Okay. And yeah, I mean, it's good. It's exactly what I thought it would be, which is
same.
Like, you know, guys in sandals, cutting each other's heads off and, you know, Denzel Washington's fantastic in it. I mean, we had a good time. I mean, it's not a great movie. It's not the first movie by a long shot, but I thought it was fun. Yeah,
it was weird. I liked it, but I kind of knew what I was going to see, and I was hoping I was wrong, but I wasn't. Just like you just said, it's like you kind of get, in some cases, when you're watching it, it feels like an homage to the first film. And they even use some of the same score. And I'm like, I'm entertained, but I feel like I've seen this. And I will say, I thought Denzel Washington is great and everything. He's one of my favorite actors. But Pedro Pascal was fantastic.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. My wife was saying, and I kind of agree, some of it felt very rushed. Like you think maybe it was a longer cut, and they all of a sudden characters who hated each other liked each other, and somebody who seemed good suddenly turned bad, and so especially at the end they resolve things very quickly. So I don't know if it was there's a director's cut that's 4 hours out there that it makes a little more sense, but for what it was, I think it was perfectly fine. Are you not mildly entertained?
I have one more movie to ask you about. It was not on your list, but what are you hearing about the film? Conrad, can I say this on the air?
I would say...
Let's say Night Witch.
There you go. I was about to say.
But it rhymes with witch.
Yes.
What are you hearing? I have not seen it, but I have to say I'm curious because I read about it.
I'm definitely curious. Yeah. So the premise is Amy Adams plays a mom who starts turning into a dog at night. I think there's no other way to say it.
Right.
I'm curious. The reviews I've seen have not been great. It's one of the movies where I'm like, shouldn't this be out by now? Because I feel like I've heard about it for so long.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, I love Amy Adams. It's such a wild premise that I'm definitely curious.
Yeah. I thought it was out already. Is it not out?
I haven't seen it around here. Yeah, I've been waiting.
And it's barely, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like right at 59%, like mostly favorable,
not quite fresh. Yeah.
Right. Barely, almost fresh. But it says now playing in theaters, must be in a really limited run or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I know Kraven the Hunter got panned like 15%. So I don't know if I wouldn't recommend that to people either, although I haven't seen it yet. So, but anything else you can recommend, Rob? Are you watching anything cool?
Daniel Craig has a new movie called Queer that's really good but really strange.
Right.
It's going to roll out really slowly. But like he might get an Oscar nomination for that.
Golden Globe nomination, I think, for Best Picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that, but it went places I was not expecting it to go.
Interesting.
I'll say that. I don't want to spoil it, but I really enjoyed that. And that's about it. I want to watch Black Doves on Netflix. Huh. Which is the spy series with Keira Knightley that's supposed to be really good. People are comparing it to Slow Horses.
Oh, cool.
And then there's the show on Amazon Prime called The Sticky. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's a heist thriller where they're in Canada. So they're trying to steal $18 million worth of maple syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a great premise. I got
love
say.
It.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, I'm going to check that one out too. And I didn't, what was that one called? Black Doves and then Sticky?
The Sticky. Yeah.
The Sticky. Okay, that's perfect. And then Conrad thought you should review a film that I'm going to pull up here. What did I do with it? Oh, here it is. It's called Holiday Touchdown, A Chief's Love Story.
Hallmark, baby.
Hallmark movies. It's got football, it's got the holidays, it's got the Hallmark crown. It looks like a winner to me, Rob.
I love it.
Check it out, will you?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that next time.
We'll see.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, have a great Christmas. We'll talk soon.
You too.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Thomas, check him out at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. He does great work there. He's also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. That is a great publication, too. I just became aware of that when Rob started working there. So check that out as well if you're in the Madison area. Lots of fun stuff to read up on about your town. So I think, do we have time? We just said the Chiefs thing. Do we have time for
Taylor? We can do. I think we should do the Travis Kelce Chiefs one, you know?
But we just did. We played. Oh, no, we didn't. Yeah, okay. All right, so this is, in honor of a touchdown love story, what is it? Holiday touchdown?
Holiday touchdown, a Chiefs story.
We're bringing this back out of the archives, folks. We had, last year, Travis Kelce went up and bumped Andy Reid. They had words, the crowd was in a frenzy behind them, and nobody knew what was said, but well, I think the clip pretty much says it all. So we obtained this. We're bringing this out of the archives. Here you go. I don't break much news on this show. This made headlines all over the place. Travis Kelce ran into and bumped into Andy Reid, his coach. And I somehow, don't ask me how I did it, folks, but I obtained the actual audio of what was said. Let's roll that audio. This is not for sensitive ears, folks.
Stop with the selfies. Get back in the game. I'm not kidding, coach. Stop sending nude selfies to my girlfriend. Get back in the game.
Come on, you guys, break it up.
Chill.
I think my favorite is the guys yelling, chill, break it up, you guys. They call that Foley in the business, ladies and gentlemen. We've gotten some great texts tonight. Our question was, what is your favorite Wisconsin food or food associated typically with Wisconsin? Did you see the Culver's post from Lynn in Oconomowoc?
I didn't.
Check that out and let me know.
Yeah, I didn't.
I think it's an inside joke or maybe something we referenced earlier that I've already forgotten about. So I apologize, Lynn. I don't totally understand the text, but I appreciate she went to all this trouble to attach a file and a picture, and I'm totally spacing out. I'm sure it has something to do with what we talked about earlier, but it is probably from when the mayor was here and we were talking about Culver's. Mike from Green Bay. Did I read this one? No, we didn't read this on the air.
No,
yet.
But okay. We did talk about it with Jim.
The mayor. So, all right, Jim Schmidt was here. And Mike, I'm sorry we didn't see this till after he left, but Mike from Green Bay says, good evening, Pete. If you could please ask the mayor if he could pull some strings to get Cafe Espresso back on Washington Street. Love the show. Thank you, Mike, and thank you for the text. I actually have to text Jim about something separate, and I will mention this to him. So he will get your message, Mike, I guarantee it. From the 608, was the Nova Scotia musical after 9/11 that Pete and Mayor talked about called Come From Away? Yes, it was. Come From Away is the musical, the 9/11 inspired musical. Thank you for the tip there, 608. That's great. And then, that was Pam, right? Pam in Madison sent that. Thank you, Pam. Much appreciated. She says she saw the musical at the Overture Center in Madison. Wow. That sounds interesting. All right, we'll be back to wrap things up coming up next, and it'll be fun. We'll play another clip. Maybe we'll play the Taylor Swift clip. It's her birthday tomorrow. It's Peach Wobbin Nightlight, Civic Media, Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. So I have to read you this, Conrad. We've been doing these Lifemark movie trailers here, and we're going to release a new one tomorrow night. And I was trying to voicemail, send Amanda Nimmer and Nikki Zirjev a voicemail about how to give them some direction on one of the lines. So here's a combination of what I said using voice text and what the speakers picked up running that commercial.
Okay.
All right. Nikki, do you mind just redoing one line? I want her to truly be wooed by this guy lives in Carrington Pub and Simple Life Rentals, but his leg, the charm on fixing it was because he loved her and she's funny.
Send. That is perfect. She will get it.
She'll come in and say it exactly like that. So I can't do that when these speakers are on. Oh, that made me laugh. In Carrington Pub and Simple Life Rentals.
I think it's funny when...
Beautiful.
When someone thinks that the voice, like when you talk to it, it will stop when you say stop.
Yeah.
Or go back. Right, and then it just, or no, stop. Puts it in there.
Or I'll always think it's not picking it up, and then I'll swear and it picks up the swear, but not what I was trying to say. It's like it's messing with me. It's like AI knows. Steady Eddie. We just got a text from Steady Eddie. He says, Pete, some holiday movie trivia for you, Conrad and Mayor Jim. Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, sang the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Pete, did you know he had a very shiny nose? Rudolph, not Gene. Anywho, at the beginning of the song, Gene, not Rudolph, names the reindeer. You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall? Fast forward, or maybe backward, to the movie Miracle on 34th Street. In one scene, Santa is looking at a list of his reindeer. I'm going to take a quick break and go grab a sandwich, and I'll come back and read the rest of this text. Steady Eddie continues. Santa's looking at his list of reindeer. It includes Donder. Gene Autry, in the song, has changed the name of one of Santa's reindeer from Donder to Donner. Why? I guess it just flowed better in the song. Pete, that's some trivia that few people know. Check it out. Rudolph is on TV as I write this. Coincidence? P.S., the postscript, he says, Gene Autry once bought my mom a drink. Wow. He says it was before she met my dad and before she became my mom. Then he closes it with, I like Wisconsin brats. thank you, Steady Eddie. That's a lot of information in that text. That's kind of cool. Gene Autry bought Steady Eddie's mom a drink. I think he means like in a bar, a cocktail. Not he didn't buy her like a Gatorade, a Quick Trip, or anything like that. So,
well, you never know.
You never know. Very cool. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Great, great stuff there. All right, so we're gonna play. Do we have time to play?
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow is Taylor Swift's birthday. I'm off. I have to go to a wedding this weekend. So Conrad and I put together a show for tomorrow night. It's all new stuff, folks. Nikki Zerjav will be here. Brittany Merlot stops by, and we are still doing Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr was gracious enough to record something earlier today with us that we will air tomorrow night. So that will be fun. All new stuff tomorrow, so please make sure you tune in. And it's Taylor Swift's birthday. So we pulled this interview that I did with Taylor years ago out of the archives.
Taylor, thanks so much for taking time out today. How have you been?
I'm great, thanks. I'm totally into this game called Pickleball.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It's like for old people, but I like it.
Oh, that's so great. I've never heard of it, but I'll look for that game. So what else do you have going on these days? I know you have some albums and you seem like you're becoming really popular. What else do you have going on?
I'm just launching like a YouTube channel right now. It's totally cool. I mean, it'll probably never be as big as MySpace, but it's totally chill.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, we'll look for that. I've never heard of YouTube. That's so great, Taylor. Now, I hear you're doing a movie. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I am totally going to start acting from now on. I'm so done with singing. I mean, how far can that really take me, right?
I get it. So tell us a little bit about the movie you're doing.
Oh my God, yeah. It's called Valentine's Day, and it's directed by, well, I'm not sure, but he's old. And Julia Roberts is in it, and Jessica Alba, and Jessica Biel. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone in the movie is named Jessica, but it's totally cool. It's so fun because people can watch it every Valentine's Day from now on. It's going to be a big hit. And I totally just did this Hannah Montana movie, too. I think acting's really the way to go.
Huh, okay. Now, you have to kiss a guy in the movie, right? Taylor Lautner, do you have a boyfriend, and is he jealous about stuff like that?
My boyfriend is Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's totally not jealous because he knows I will always love him and we'll be together forever.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool that you're dating an actor.
Yeah, oh my God, he's the best. I totally like actors and the creative type of people. I could never really see myself dating, like, a big sweaty jock who's, like, a total bro, you know?
Well, how did that work out for her? She did an about-face. That was about 15, 20 years ago, so she's come a long way. She's going to be 34, I think, tomorrow?
Oh, well.
We joke, but she, that's incredible. I mean, 34 is like the new 24. So she's basically your age.
I don't know.
She's older than you, but I'm saying to do the things she's done and only be 34 years old is unbelievable. So she's a good kid. I'm happy for her. And she was gracious enough with her time so many years ago. So we will do that. We will have one of our Hallmark films will play tomorrow, our Hallmark trailer. And the movie, folks, playing tomorrow is My Husband's Turtleneck. Playing on Lifemark. The trailer will run here tomorrow night. You're not going to want to miss that, folks. Hey, this has been fun. Like I said, I'm off tomorrow, but I'm not. We will be here with a brand new show. So tune in, all new stuff. And then we'll be back on Monday as well. Great stuff coming up next week and a fun show tomorrow night. Don't miss it. Great having you with me tonight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, this has been Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Not tell me. Can you feel it?
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.